Israeli airstrikes kill more civilians in Gaza. Palestinian leaders say the cycle of violence needs to end. So what's needed to deliver permanent peace? And how does this latest round of attacks jeopardize mediation efforts made so far? This is Inside Story. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Derin Abugeda. Israel has carried out a third day of airstrikes on Gaza. The military says it's targeting the positions of armed groups, including Palestinian Islamic Jihad. But it's civilians who are bearing the brunt of the worst violence since last year's 11-day war. Dozens of people, including children, have been killed since Friday. That's when Israel launched the attacks to prevent the Islamic Jihad from retaliating after the arrest of one of its commanders in the occupied West Bank. The armed group has fired more than 500 rockets into Israel. Palestinian Prime Minister Mohammed Shtayyeh says the cycle of violence must stop.
This happens once a year, every few months, the aggression on Gaza. This aggression should stop once and for all. We cannot just postpone to stop one aggression so that Israel can carry out another aggression later. And this should be referred to the International Criminal Court. And the file is on the table in front of the International Criminal Court.
Well, let's take a look at some of the efforts to end the violence. An Egyptian intelligence delegation visited Israel on Saturday before traveling to Gaza on Sunday. Qatar, a mediator in last year's conflict, has spent billions of dollars helping to rebuild Gaza. It has reaffirmed support for Palestinians while calling for international pressure on Israel to stop attacking civilians. The U.S. State Department says it stands by Israel's right to defend itself. Other countries, including Morocco and the United Arab Emirates, have previously offered to help mediate between the Israelis and the Palestinians. Let's now bring in our guest. Joining us from Dublin is Yasser Al-Ash'ar, who's an academic and specialist on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. In Cambridge, Boston, is Rami Khoury, a professor at the American University of Beirut and a senior fellow at the Harvard Kennedy School. And joining us from Washington, D.C., is Dan Arbel, scholar in residence at the Center for Israeli Studies at the American University. Dan's also a former Israeli diplomat and negotiator in the Israel-Syria peace talks. Warm welcome to you all. Thanks so much for joining us on Inside Story. Yasser Al-Ash'ar over in Dublin, you say that if we see some sort of ceasefire or mediation agreement, it will be similar to previous agreements. And you say that the short-term views are the real problem. Can you explain that thought process?
Yes, of course. I think, as I said before, what we have seen in recent years is short-term agreements that do not address the core issues in terms of Palestinian rights, in terms of Palestinian national rights, in terms of the wider Israeli-Palestinian conflict. What we are seeing recently in terms of Gaza is a special focus on humanitarian aid, a special focus on short-term security, and a focus on reconstruction, which hasn't been really happening in recent years. So as a result, the core issues, including Palestinian rights, including justice, including self-determination, freedom, end of occupation, end of apartheid, all of those issues haven't been addressed in those mediation short-term agreements. And therefore, I think the issues are going to continue, the conflict is going to continue, and all what we have seen as well isn't only a short-term process in terms of managing this issue, but we also have seen that the process itself of mediation has focused on conflict management and not conflict resolution. And therefore, from my perspective, those short-term agreements and conflict management processes will not produce effective results in the long term.
Rami Khoury, can you weigh in on this? You say that any mediation tries to return calm to the Gaza Strip, but calm, according to you, is an unacceptable situation. Tell us why.
Of course, calm is siege, restrictions, Israelis shooting, killing Palestinians, arresting people at will, stopping the fishermen from working in the sea. I mean, it's a total siege situation, which is a function of the long-term relationship between Israel and Zionism on one hand and the Palestinian people on the other. So calm is not something that the Palestinians see as a long-term attraction. Of course, in the short term, it is very good to stop the killing and the fighting and the shooting on both sides or whoever is involved. But this happens regularly because the underlying issues are not addressed. The Egyptian government, it's fascinating that it's the security intelligence agencies in Egypt that are in charge of this. So this is a security issue for Egypt. In fact, everything is a security issue for Egypt, like most Arab countries. And the Egyptians are doing a good job in trying to stop the actual destruction and killing, but not doing anything more than that in terms of a longer-term horizon of some expectation that the Palestinians can live a decent life and one day have the same rights to statehood and sovereignty and peace and security as the Israelis. But the Egyptians do this because it makes them look good with so many audiences that are important to them. Their own population, the American government that funds them, the Israeli government that deals with them, the Palestinian population. So if Egypt can project itself as somebody who's trying to reduce the suffering of people in Gaza, it resonates with a bunch of different audiences that are important for it. So this is typical of the situation where Arab governments use the Palestine issue for their own purposes, while at the same time, Egypt, of course, controls the southern gates of Gaza and is complicit with Israel in the siege of Gaza.
Right, and Egypt, of course, being one of the mediators currently trying to mediate some sort of truce. Dan Arbel, to what extent do you think Israel is looking for a way out? Day three of attacks on Gaza, there have been more than 500 rockets fired at Israel, sirens heard in Tel Aviv.
I believe that Israel would be looking favorably at going for a truce, a ceasefire. I believe that Israel has achieved most of its goals in the operation it launched on Friday. And I think that what Israel needs now is security guarantees that Islamic Jihad will not be, you know, once a truce is agreed, that will be violated by the Islamic Jihad and rockets would be fired again from the Gaza Strip into Israel. I think that there's a good chance that the ceasefire is around the corner. And unfortunately, this is something that we've been seeing year after year or year in, year out. And there is no military solution to this issue. I think it's only a diplomatic solution to this issue that could pave the way for a long-term arrangement where there's calm, there's no violence, and that both sides tend to their own issues rather than focus on confronting one another.
Right. So, Dan, the Israeli army had previously said that actually there are currently no negotiations with Islamic Jihad over a ceasefire. I mean, is that just for the public's consumption then?
I think that, you know, over the years, there's never been direct negotiations between Israel and Hamas in previous confrontations or with Israel and Islamic Jihad. It's always done through third parties. And as my previous speaker noted, the Egyptian role, the Qatari role, there are other, the UN, other actors that are stepping in and trying to broker a ceasefire between Israel and Islamic Jihad. But I do not believe that there is a direct contacts or talks between Israel and Islamic Jihad.
Yasser, you were mentioning a moment ago that the cycle of violence will continue if the issues at stake are not really addressed. I mean, it's such a big question to you, but what needs to be done for the issues to be addressed so that the cycle of violence does not happen over and over?
I don't think I was talking about the cycle of violence. I was talking about the root issues. And the root issues need to be addressed, and it's important that they are addressed. We're talking about continuing Israeli occupation. We're talking about Gaza being under siege for a long time, and that's important to remember. We're talking about 80% of the population in Gaza who are living on humanitarian aid. We're talking about people in Jerusalem being evicted out of their homes, being forced out of their homes. We're talking about Palestinians as well in Israel facing discrimination and racism. So for me, this is a question of the Israeli regime of apartheid and occupation that needs to be addressed in order to have just and in order to have just peace and in order to have security for all peoples who are living in that region. Your previous speaker was talking about security guarantees that Israel is looking for in terms of Gaza. What about security guarantees for Palestinians who have been under Israeli occupation for more than 60 years? What about security guarantees for Gaza, for people in Gaza who have been receiving Israeli rockets and civilians who are losing their security and their lives under Israeli attacks? What about security for Palestinians in the West Bank and Jerusalem? So the perspective on Palestinian security is not recognized, while the perspective on the Israeli security is recognized. And therefore, that speaks to an important issue, which is the power relationship between Palestinians and Israelis. And Israel continues to be a powerful country, continues to have a powerful military, continues to enjoy support from the United States and Europe. And the Palestinians, I'm not talking about them as victims, but nonetheless, the reality is they are living under an Israeli regime of apartheid, occupation, and racism, and this needs to be addressed.
Dan, is it ultimately about the occupation, as Yasser is saying, and also, I mean, multiple human rights organizations, including Human Rights Watch in 2021, describing Israel's systematic oppression and institutional discrimination against Palestinians, Amnesty International as well in 2022, calling Israel as apartheid against Palestinians, a cruel system of domination. Ultimately, is it about the occupation?
So, first of all, I'd like to say that Gaza is not under Israeli occupation. Israel left the Gaza Strip in 2005, vowing not to come back. And so since 2005, for the last 17 years, Israel has not been inside Gaza.
Not inside Gaza, but let's not kid ourselves. It certainly controls the land, sea, and air, does it not?
Correct. So what I'm getting at is, and as I believe that the two-state solution is the way forward, is the way to resolve the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, having a state of Israel living side by side with a future Palestinian state in peace and security. And once you know that happens, then all these issues would be on the table, including the end of occupation, including other aspects of borders, settlement, security. And then it could be those issues can be addressed. But let's not forget that who's the aggressor here, and having the Palestinian Islamic Jihad holding the entire population of southern Israel as hostage, threatening to fire rockets, and occasionally doing that. And so no normal country could allow itself to actually allow this to happen. And so Israel had to respond. Israel had to launch this preemptive strike in order to deal with this issue. And let's talk about Islamic Jihad. They're no Mother Theresas. They are a terrorist organization backed by Iran and vowing to destroy the state of Israel. So Israel has the right to defend itself, has the right also to worry about its security. And I agree that Palestinian security is important and should be addressed as well.
Rami, would you like to weigh in? I saw you you wanted to, please go ahead.
I have several comments to comment on some of Dan's points. I mean, he presented a very sophisticated and impressive presentation of Israeli propaganda and speaking points, which have been swallowed hook, line, and sinker by the American government, the British government, and others around the region. The idea that all they want is peace and no rockets out of Gaza it sounds good, but the reality is that groups like Islamic Jihad, like Hamas, like Hezbollah, like the armed wing of Fatah, like the PFLP and the DFLP and previous militant left-wing groups in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Every one of these Palestinian resistance armed movements in Palestine or outside came about as a response to continued Israeli attacks, occupation, subjugation, apartheid, racism, imprisonment, expulsion, killing, arrest. I mean, it's incredible that the Israelis and Zionism for 100 years have not been able to deal with the reality of Palestinian nationalism and sovereign rights in Palestine. Even though he says, and I'm happy to hear him say, that he would like a two-state solution, which is what I've worked for all my life. I was born in 48. And this is great to hear, but it is not what the Israeli government does. It is not what the American government does. And the reality of these groups, one after the other, emerging, the Muslim Brothers, the Hamas, and all these groups that keep emerging out of Palestine. In fact, many of them came out of Gaza, which is fascinating. Gaza has been the incubator of Palestinian nationalism resistance and militant resistance for about the last 50 or 60 years. And it's always a response to what the Israelis do. So this cycle has to be seen as a cycle in which the Israelis and Zionism are doing terrible things and the Palestinians are responding. And they do terrible things sometimes when they fire a missile, or they used to do bombs and buses in Tel Aviv. Both sides have used different tactics that we can criticize. But the main thrust of why this continues is because of the way that Zionism and the Israeli government continue to apply their policies while camouflaging them in this very sophisticated public relations approach that doesn't work anymore. So the whole world, basically, except the American presidency, a few people in Congress, people in England running for prime minister, there's individuals who repeat these lines that Israel has a right to defend itself. But the majority of public opinion around the world is saying we want equal rights for Israelis and Palestinians. And that means reality, not rhetoric. And I hope we can move from rhetoric to reality. And the Palestinians have put their cards on the table many times for a two-state solution, but the Israelis and the Americans and others do not respond.
Okay, just back to the issue of the Egyptian mediation. Yasser, Rami was mentioning this just a few moments ago about the role that Egypt has been playing historically. But for Palestinian factions, how important is Egypt as a partner? Obviously, its geographical proximity must play a part here.
Egypt is an important player from a geographical point of view, from a geopolitical point of view, also from an economic point of view. Egypt continues to enjoy very strong relations with the Palestinian factions, continues to enjoy strong relations with the Palestinian Authority, with Hamas, and also with Israel, and indeed with the United States. Egypt is a regional player, and it's a significant player. Now, the Egyptian mediation is important for two factors, or for two reasons. One, it has a strong relationship with Israel, so Egypt can communicate with Israel messages and can also manage talks. In terms of Palestinians in Gaza, they have a strong relationship with Hamas, and Hamas continues to be a significant player in Gaza. And I think both Palestinians and Israelis trust Egyptian mediation. And Egypt continues to enjoy influence, continues to enjoy good relations, and also continues to enjoy international support in terms of its mediation efforts. Also, let's not forget that Egypt has direct borders with Gaza, and Egypt continues to control the Rafah crossing, which is a major land border between Gaza and the outside world. And Egypt also continues to support humanitarian aid into Gaza. But let me just go back to the main point that I made earlier, which is all of these short-term agreements will not be successful as long as we do not address, first of all, Palestinian reconciliation. It needs to be addressed and supported. Secondly, the Israeli regime of apartheid and occupation that the Palestinians have been living under since 1948. If this system isn't addressed, this oppressive system and policy isn't addressed, we are likely going to see more oppression, more violence, and also more instability. over the coming years.
Right.
And as long as the United States continues to support Israel and not to support a political settlement, we're going to see more instability as well over the coming years.
Dan, you're a former diplomat and a negotiator as well. From your point of view, what does this mediation actually achieve? I mean, Cairo has attempted several times, Egypt as well as others, have attempted several times to push for some sort of reconciliation process between Israel and, at the time, it was Hamas.
So I think that Israel and Egypt have a close coordination and secure relationship between the security establishments. And so Israel trusts Egypt in that regard. And also, Israel has been working with the special Qatari envoy to Gaza over the years. And so I believe that Israel sees the Egyptian option, the Egyptian channel, as the best way to try and resolve the outstanding issues and to reach a ceasefire. Egypt has proven over the last several years, over previous conflicts, that it's able to deliver when it comes to bringing the Palestinian side to the table or to agree to the conditions of the truce.
Perhaps short-term successes, Dan, but we're talking here about sort of long-term solutions.
Correct. You know, the issue is that none of the parties are looking long-term, and that's a problem. There's a problem that Israel's not looking long-term, Egypt is not looking long-term, and the Palestinians for sure are not looking for long-term. And if you don't look for long-term, it's a problem because every few months or every few years, you face the same problem again and again. And I think it's an issue of leadership. I think it's an issue of political circumstances that can make this happen. But these have not crystallized yet, and it will take time. And unfortunately, innocent people are hurt or losing lives and are just under threat of violence. And until there is a long-term approach by all parties, nothing is going to move forward, unfortunately.
Rami Khoury, when you look at what's happening right now in Gaza, from your assessment, what kind of intensity and length of conflict could we potentially be seeing?
My guess is that the immediate conflict will wind down in the next few days. Hamas is unlikely to join in the fight or some of the other smaller armed factions. But we'll see. I mean, it depends what the Israelis do. If the Israelis go around killing more people and destroying more infrastructure, and if they hit some of the other groups, then you might get an expansion of the actual fighting. But I don't expect that because the fighting has expanded many times in the last 20 years, and it just doesn't solve anything. There is no military solution to this, nor is there a solution through the Israeli policies of apartheid and siege and restriction and dehumanization. The only solution is a negotiated one that gives both people equal rights and statehood. But the most important thing the Israelis, I think, need to recognize, which they probably know deep down but are not able or willing to admit, is that every time they have carried out their policy of what they call mowing the lawn or mowing the grass, every few years they attack Gaza, they destroy some things. But every time in the wake of that kind of Israeli attack, the militant forces in Gaza get more public support, as they're doing now, because Islamic Jihad, despite the criticism people make of it, is the only group that is now seen to be resisting Israel, even though they're not going to liberate Palestine. The putting up a show of resistance generates great support for them. And the other thing that happens is they become more technologically sophisticated. If you look at Hamas and Islamic Jihad and Hezbollah, and even the Houthis in Yemen, they get support from the Iranians and the Syrians and other people, and they help each other. They have become increasingly more sophisticated to the point in Lebanon where Hezbollah and Israel have a ceasefire. They're afraid to fight each other because they know there'll be massive destruction. So Israel has to look at the long-term consequences of what it does and then look at a peace strategy one day.
All right, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us. Yasser Al-Ashqar, Rami Khoury, and Dan Arbel, we thank you so much for your time. Thanks for watching. You can see the program again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. For further discussion, you can go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. Join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is AJInsideStory. From myself and the whole team here in Doha, thanks for watching. Bye-bye for now.